Before the podcast gets underway, I just wanted to announce that this would be my last podcast for the foreseeable future. I am in a one-year mastery program with the Milan Art Institute, and I am in the portfolio development stage. So because I work full-time, this process has become a lot more time-consuming than I expected, so I won't be able to have the time to continue with the podcast for now. I should be done around summertime, so I will evaluate at that point if I'm able to come back. But in the meantime, you can please follow me on Instagram to follow my progress towards becoming a working artist. I will have a YouTube channel up in the future, and I may come back to this podcast in the future. So if you were enjoying the show, I definitely appreciate your listening, and I hope you will stay in touch and come back. Have a wonderful day and enjoy this final podcast. Hello and welcome. This is the Love Not Tolerance podcast. My name is Raven Kushner. I am a fine art mixed media painter. I paint underrepresented beauty and dreams of racial harmony. And this podcast is a journey toward my becoming a working artist and what I am learning along the way. Follow me on Instagram at ravensfineart.ravenkushner. Or visit my website at ravenkushner.com. And everything that I mention will be also notated in the show notes. So today marked the completion of week one of my portfolio creation. I was able to complete two paintings. They are called American Girl 1 and American Girl 2. They are about what it means for a person of color, or in this case me, what it means to be an American from my perspective. Now, many times when people think of an American, they automatically think of a blonde, blue-eyed person, which is only a very small subset of what America is. In my opinion, America is about a culture. It's certainly not about a race. This is a melting pot. That's what it was designed to be. And regardless of whether or not this country has lived up to its ideals, the ideals are there, and they're very powerful, actually. So I believe being an American is about being independent. It's about the desire to be self-made, self-determining, free, equal, and merit-based. Now, of course, there are contradictions to that. There are, you know, there's nepotism, there's, you know, money buys you more privilege, there's all that kind of stuff, but I think at the heart of it, what we value as Americans is all those qualities. You know, we value and we admire people who make it on their own, who are merit-based, who weren't given things, you know, at birth. We value independence, we value creativity. So these are wonderful things. So in my paintings, I wanted to turn that notion on its head, that this country is only about being a blue-eyed blonde. It's not what it's about. This is about making something of yourself from scratch, whatever odds you might face. So I'm hoping to reflect that in this first series of paintings. So what I learned this week, comes from a Netflix documentary called Bad Vegan. And, you know, I think the reason why they chose that title is because it's so intriguing. I think on both sides, I think that vegans want to be more and more represented in the media in a positive light. So I think the notion of a bad vegan, it's like, well, what's that about? And I think on the other side, for the people that hate vegans, I think they're eager to see one go bad. So the story of this documentary is about a woman who owned a vegan restaurant and that was thriving, a vegan restaurant that attracted celebrities, that was making money, it was bustling, it was on its way up. And the owner of the restaurant was a woman who eventually ended up in prison. So that's quite the downfall. So I had no background. I'd never heard of this woman or her restaurant or the story. So I was coming in completely with a blank slate. I picked up very quickly that this was going to be due to some sort of a relationship. And that intrigued me because of my own history with dating people who, actually really only one person who was very abusive and narcissistic. And so I wanted to see how this played out for her. And I seem to be attracted to stories like that. Like I also watched the series Dirty John on Netflix, which was essentially about the same thing, how a normal woman gets wrapped up with a narcissist and it ends up being her downfall. So in this case, I really wanted to note the patterns and if there was a way she could have prevented it. That was my interest in it. How did it happen? Why did it happen? And what were the opportunities that she had to avoid the situation? So I initially thought that the guy that she opened the restaurant with was going to be the problem, but he didn't figure into the story at all. She was in business school in Wharton, the top business school in the country, dropped out of that to go to culinary school, pursued this guy who was a top vegan chef, learned what she could from him, quickly got romantically entangled with him and married, and together they opened up this restaurant. Now, when they broke up, she had to buy him out, and that's what started kind of the saga because she had to go into debt to buy him out. Now, that's really not a big deal. Business people always have to do things like that, buying partners out or unexpected expenses. She had kind of the ideal situation because she had a guy who, an investor, who did believe in her, and he loaned her the money and did not hound her for the money. She was able to pay it back, you know, at her leisure, basically. And she ended up, though, being so stressed out about this debt that she meets guy number two, the problem guy. Guy number two gives off bad impressions right off the bat, but she goes for it because he's bragging about how much money he has and she, you know, poo-pooing her fears about this debt, saying, I could pay off your debt just like that. So she goes to a tax accountant and inquires, hypothetically, if she were to receive money from this guy, would it cause a tax problem? And now, mind you, all he's done is say he's going to give her this money, but, you know, they're dating and I guess she believes him. So the tax guy says, well, if you married him, it wouldn't be a problem, half joking. So she does. She marries this fool. On the promise that he's going to take care of her. Okay, this is red flag number one. Okay, so now we're seeing the pattern. So she marries guy number one, basically because, you know, he was admirable. He was a top vegan chef in his game. She learned what she could from him. And then together they opened up this restaurant. But she obviously didn't think she could do it on her own. So here comes guy number two. Guy number two makes all these promises, and it's way too much to get into, but this guy is essentially a major con artist, batshit crazy. He's telling her all these things about how he's going to make her dog immortal. He's going to make her like the queen of this, I don't know what you would call like angelic realm. And like somehow she's absorbing and buying into all this. And somehow all this is going to work out. He's going to take care of her. Everything's going to be okay. This is becoming more and more of a mess because somehow this guy who's going to take care of her keeps needing tens of thousands of her money of her. And he's spending it on gambling, which she doesn't know about at first. But he won't tell her exactly what he's spending the money on. He basically says in order to prove herself, in order to be worthy of this queendom that she's going to inherit, she has to keep giving him this money, and not only giving him money, she has to follow every order that he gives her without question and without any backtalk and without any delay. So she's going along with this, giving him, after all things are considered, something like over $6 million. And when you think about it, it's so amazing because if she had just stuck it out on her own, faced her fears after the, you know, divorce from the first guy, and just, you know, believed in herself, she not only would have paid her loan back, but much more beyond that. She could have opened up vegan restaurants in multiple countries. There were multiple investors courting her. She would have been fine, but there was something in her that did not believe she could be successful on her own. And that's, I guess, what I honed in on, because that's the fatal flaw that she had and that a lot of women have. And to note, when she finally ended up going on the run, because by now she wasn't paying her employees, she wasn't paying her taxes, all she was doing is making money from the restaurant and then giving it over to this guy who was wasted on gambling and buying stuff. So now they're on the run from the police. And this whole time she keeps trying to say that she didn't know what was going on, and she didn't, you know, she wouldn't say they were on the run. She just, you know, was using a pseudonym. I mean, it's so ridiculous, because she did know what was going on, but she had this fog about her where she just went along with what was happening and then claimed ignorance of what was happening. No matter what was going on, she just claimed to not know what was going on. So she wasn't paying her employees, she wasn't paying taxes. So, you know, her investors that, you know, were expecting their money back, she just bailed on them. So now the police are involved, and she's on the run with this fool that she's married. And in the midst of that, she meets a third guy who was just a quote-unquote friend, but I don't think she's stupid. I think she knew this guy was interested in her. She met him. He was working at a Chipotle, and one of the places she'd sneak off and go get lunch, you know, well, not really sneak off, but she would, you know, her husband would be in the room, the hotel room, and she'd go off and get some food, and she would sneak and have beers and chit-chat with this guy, and he kind of became her sort of, like, she wouldn't obviously tell him what was going on, but he became a shoulder to cry on. So this is third guy she's using for her, you know, emotional support. And when all is said and done, both she and her husband end up in prison. You know, it's a mess. She's defrauded everybody. She's hurt everybody. She's lost her mother's money. She's lost her own money. It's a complete disaster. She has no credibility whatsoever. And this is where it lies. And at the end of the show, it shows her still having a conversation with this guy who has completely ruined her life. So the lesson for me is that, ladies, I understand, because I've been there, but you don't need a man to be successful. And the thing is, this is a distinctly female thing. Men need women too, but for other things. But there's something in women that we don't feel that we can succeed or even get by in life without a man. Now, of course, you know, if you're wanting a romantic relationship, there's nothing wrong with wanting that. But there absolutely is something wrong with thinking that you can't meet your basic necessities of life. You can't be successful. You can't get by without a man by your side. That's just not true. Anybody that you let into your life has to be curated, first of all. Anybody, friend, boyfriend, husband especially, anything like that has to be heavily scrutinized. And one thing you don't ever want to do is be giving a man money. And yes, I am old fashioned. I'm also old. But I think it holds true. If a guy is asking you for money regularly, that is a serious red flag. That has to be just a standard. Just don't do it. But more important than that is that you don't need somebody else in order to be successful. If somebody wants to help you and there are no strings attached, that's great. But thinking that you need any one particular person, especially a romantic relationship, to get by is ridiculous. And in fact, what ends up usually happening is that you're actually able to devote more to your business if you're not in any kind of a romantic relationship. Now, if you're with the right person, somebody else who's an entrepreneur or who's already successful, you know, they might take you under their wing and you might have a relationship, and that can be fine. I think Coco Chanel started that way. Like, her first investor was a romantic partner, but that was her business. Okay. It was her vision. She was not led off into some weird cult sensation thing, you know, some strange, you know, belief system. And certainly he wasn't asking money from her, okay? He was giving money to Coco Chanel, and that's how she started her business. So she may have thought that she was going to marry him for money, but she ended up getting played. She gave all of her money away to this guy. So the one thing that I really took away from that is that you have to believe in yourself. You have to rely on yourself. Going back to what it means to be an American, self-reliance is really important. Now, it doesn't mean that you're an island, that you don't need people, but it does mean that at the end of the day, you don't need any one particular person for your survival. It's just not true. And a lot of times women convince themselves that they can't get out of toxic relationships because of finances, or, you know, or because I don't know how to make it on my own. Well, that's your project then. That's your life task, is to figure it out. You're not above having to figure out your life. And so the one thing I would encourage women to do is please don't base your life around a man or any one particular person. Believe in yourself enough to know that spirit has got your back, that you are not dependent upon somebody else, especially a toxic person. That is never going to be true. You're never going to need a toxic person in order to get by. That's an impossibility. As soon as you remove the toxic person from your life, everything in your life is going to get better. I promise you that. From personal experience, from everything that I've read, absolutely everything in your life is going to get better if you let that person go. All right, well, that is it for this week. I have a lot to do, and it's getting harder and harder to actually to do these podcasts because I'm really busy building my portfolio, but I wanted to at least keep everyone up to date that listens, you know, what I'm doing, that I'm still on my path. And I hope that all of you have a wonderful and productive week, and I will see you next time. Bye-bye. 'Cause I've been living life right, like I could just die.